From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Noah Adams. The British government is drafting a new law that would make incitement to religious hatred a criminal offense. The Home Secretary is pushing the legislation, in part because of the realization that Britain has become a haven for militants of Middle Eastern and South Asian descent. As NPR's Guy Raz reports now from London, officials worry these radicals are encouraging attacks on non-Muslims.
Thousands of men answer the call to prayer at the central London mosque on Friday afternoon. This is the largest and best known of England's mosques. Many of the worshippers are members of the British establishment, but the most vocal and visible worshippers are members of the radical group Al-Muhajirun. Outside the mosque, young bearded men collect money from the worshippers who stream out. Within minutes, a large crowd has gathered around. One man passes out signs that read, "Bush is the terrorist and jihad in America." Another young man wearing a camouflage jacket and a traditional prayer cap holds a megaphone. The crowd of about 500 men answer. These young men make up Al-Muhajirun. It's a fast-growing radical movement led by Sheikh Omar Bakri Muhammad. Bakri Muhammad holds court in a disused warehouse in North London. He's now under 24-hour surveillance by British intelligence agents. Al-Muhajirun's stated aim is to restore the Islamic Caliphate, an empire that once spanned the Middle East and countries around the Mediterranean.
It's a matter of time, and the Islamic giant is going to rise, and the Caliphate going to be established. You need to think about your relationship with the Islamic nation in the future.
Bakri Muhammad left his native Syria in the mid-1980s, then had a brush with the law in Saudi Arabia. He ended up in Britain, where he was granted asylum in 1986, and has remained here since. In recent speeches, he's exhorted his followers to join their brothers in arms in Afghanistan.
It is duty upon every Muslim to help fellow Muslims. It is part of the belief. The Prophet Muhammad said, "Help your Muslim brothers, whether he's oppressed or oppressor, but do not allies with non-Muslim against him."
And because Pakistani President Pervez Musharraf has supported the U.S.-led campaign in Afghanistan, an alliance with non-Muslims, Omar Bakri issued a fatwa, or judgment, against Musharraf. He now says the Pakistani leader is a legitimate target. Andrew Dismore is a member of parliament who heads a task force looking into Bakri Muhammad's group and others like it. Dismore's been trying to get the group banned for the past 2 years.
Increasingly, they've become not just violently vocal, but a number of Al-Muhajirun people have been arrested for quite serious offences.
Dismore has criticized the British Crown Prosecutor's Office for failing to pursue members of Al-Muhajirun and another group called Sons of Sharia. Both have been linked to a firm called Sakina Security Services. Before law enforcement agents shut it down 2 weeks ago, Sakina's website was offering jihad training, according to Andrew Dismore.
And they were running a website which was advertising training. Perhaps the most infamous of their, or most extreme of their courses, was called the Ultimate Jihad Challenge, which advertised a two-week course with the emphasis on practical live-fire training. And the skills they were taught included live-fire engaging multiple targets, live-fire concealed carry, live-fire combat jungle run, live-fire sniper, live-fire shooting at through and from vehicles. And so it goes on.
The Finsbury Park Mosque in North London has become a focus of British investigators in their search for a connection between radical groups like Al-Qaeda and those operating in Britain. The mosque's imam, Abu Hamza al-Masri, lost an eye and a hand fighting the Soviets in Afghanistan in the early 1980s. Though he declined NPR's request for an interview, he continues to give fiery sermons, calling on his followers to take up arms. MP Andrew Dismore wants him detained for violating anti-incitement law.
In 1999, this is going quite a way back, he made speeches in August 1999, get training, what are you training for? So you can get the kufr, that means non-believer, and crush his head in your arms so you can wring his throat so you can rip his intestines out. forget wasting a bullet on them, cut them in half. If you could put a balaclava on your face and walk down the road and stick one on somebody, then do it, as long as you're not going to get, as long as you're going to get away with it. Now, I think that that is incitement to race hatred.
But despite Dismore's best efforts, many of these men are free to raise money and organize groups determined to inspire religious revolution abroad. John Gearson, a specialist on counterterrorism at King's College London, explains why.
It's very difficult to distinguish between political dissidents and proto-terrorist organizations, and I think that's been the problem.
Gearson also points out that for the past 10 years, many fundamentalist groups from the Middle East have operated under the radar screen.
The major terrorist threat to UK nationals has been from Irish-related terrorism. And so although these groups may have been propagating certain radical ideas, to be completely frank, it was not usually affecting directly British interests.
So, in Britain, a man like Yasser al-Siri could live, work, and publish with few restrictions. He's wanted in Egypt in connection with a plot to assassinate the former prime minister and the bomb explosion that killed a 9-year-old girl in Cairo. But the British government has refused to extradite al-Siri to Egypt. In fact, until his arrest this week in London, al-Siri lived in a state-subsidized council house and earned unemployment benefits for 8 years. The Crown Prosecutor's Office won't talk about specific cases, but it's widely believed that the UK is reluctant to extradite suspects to countries where the death penalty is carried out. Guy Raz, NPR News, London.